Dudes, we live in a fair city called Peoria, and it is sometimes referred to as the River City. Our hockey team is called the Rivermen. There's a company working, I just saw one of their trucks over here yesterday, I believe, called River City Construction. There are a lot of businesses and concerns that use the word river in it, and today we're going to see how the river of the water of life blesses us and the whole world. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, feed us the river of life, Jesus, the bread of life, the wine of life, the tree of life, the healing of the tree of life, the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the river in Revelation 22 was straddled on both sides by the tree of life, even as our river here has beautiful trees on both sides of it, emblematic of the grace of the gospel of Jesus. We now commit unto you this sermon, this service, in Jesus' name, amen. So the lovely visage that we read about in Revelation 22, 1-5, just a few moments ago, is an astounding gospel picture in the Bible. But we shouldn't be too surprised, because it is found for us in the Old Testament. That passage that Elder Craig read earlier from Ezekiel 47, 1-12, is a great, beautiful example of that. In fact, the Apostle John here in the Apocalypse is picking up on that Old Testament imagery and using it for us here, even today. If you knew the Gospel of John, the same author who wrote the Apocalypse, he also often used this kind of language of Jesus being the water of life, the bread of life, the door of life, the shepherd of the sheep. So he knew this very well, and he wants to communicate it to us as well. So the Apocalypse or Revelation was written before 70 AD, we believe, and then at 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem fell. The old Jerusalem went down, and now the new Jerusalem of the new covenant church, the kingdom that fills the whole world, is in full view. Nothing is blocking its visage from the people on earth, be they Jews or Gentiles. And ever since that time, the beautiful crystal clear river of the water of life has been flowing from the throne of God in heaven, where all good things start, to the church on earth, and through her, the members, faithful, loving Jesus, to the whole world all around us. Everything gets affected by this glorious river of life. In fact, the text says that the water flows through the middle of the street of the city, the New Jerusalem, the New Covenant Church on earth today. As I mentioned earlier, that river is straddled on both sides by a river or a tree of life, which bears 12 seasonal fruits, the tree bearing leaves, which contain the spiritual herb, which is the blood of the Messiah, the blood of the Lamb that cleanses away the sins of all who would call upon him and believe on him for eternal life. It is a beautiful and glorious God we serve, who heals the nations, heals us as well. How can a more splendid gospel vista ever be revealed to the eyes of our Christian faith, dears? Now, it is true, we must have Christian faith to see it. It exists on its own objectively, despite whether anyone believes it, but for us to understand it, appreciate it, and enjoy it, we must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is good news not only for the church, but for the whole world. The only answer for any of the problems in the world is the church, the gospel, the person of Jesus himself. Nothing else ever has, ever will, or ever could be sufficient. It's good for the communities in which we live, all of them to be affected positively by you as you bring this gospel that you even hear today into your various spheres of life. So in light of this exceeding magnificence, let's make it our goal this gospel morning to glory in the Christ who has provided us everything in his person. We'll be looking together in a few moments at Revelation 22, 1-5. If you wish to use the outline, there is one in your bulletin there, and we would be filling it in here very soon. In fact, very soon. The Water of Life, the Tree of Life, that's the title of the sermon. The doctrine of these texts, God provides his world every good thing in Jesus and through his church. Now, every word of that doctrinal statement really is key and important and instructive for us. And it all hangs together. None of it exists independently of any other part. Indeed, it is true that God provides, and it's his world, he made it, every single good thing in Jesus, and he does it always through you, the church of the living God. In a world that is torn apart by sin and dissension and by hatred and wickedness and just hardship and fall and difficulty and trial, a world that is in a terrible state, there is a greater reality that is yet true, not only in the future, but right now, a greater reality than the fact of sin. And that grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ overcomes sin, overpowers it, and overwhelms it. It is the full, free, rich grace of Jesus careening down to us from the throne of heaven to the church, through whom it goes to all the nations. God provides his world every good thing in Jesus and through his church. First, Christ himself is the water and tree of life. Now that's an important thing to say because religious people sometimes forget that. And even Christian people think, well, I have Jesus, what now? What's the next step? What do I go on to? You don't go on to anything. Christ is the end all and the absolute of all things. He is the treasure chest of all wisdom and knowledge. Our wonder is all found in him alone. We don't go beyond him, we go through him. The spiritual H2O of the river of life is Jesus himself. It's not something else. In fact, the same may be said about the tree of life. The seed, the root, the trunk, the sap, the energy that produces the fruit of the tree is all the person of Christ himself. That's important. The riverbed for the blessed stream of Jesus is the gospel, which you're hearing now through your ears. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you accede to these words by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that's comfort for you, that the word of God is making progress in your lives. The source of the river is the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The first bend in the river from heaven is the church through which it flows all the way down to all the rest of the world. And all of these blessed conveyances, be it the gospel itself or the church, as wonderful as they are not the water or the tree of life. Christ alone is. And this is very important for us to realize. This understanding is so critical because otherwise, if we miss it, we lose the glory and heart of God, the reality and the vitality and the wonder and the joy and the exuberance of our Christian faith and the gospel itself. Christ himself is the water and the tree of life, and his gospel grace cascades, C-A-S-C-A-D-E-S, cascades from God's throne through God's ecclesia, which is church, to God's universe. Now, we touched on this already, but the importance of this theme is so great that it's good for us to emphasize it yet again. And gaped with amazement at the gorgeous scene before us here, if you can picture it, God from the throne sending the river down through his church, the middle of the city, to bless the whole world, the sinful world, the fallen world, the world in which we live today. This is for us today. What a wonderful way this is for us Christians and non-Christians to view life on earth. What a unique, different, and positive attitude this engenders in us. For those of us who are Christians, do we not all say that Jesus is King and Lord? Does he not reign over all? Do we not sing that often in our Christmas carols coming up in just a few months? Indeed, does he not rule and reign over all things? What a hopeful perspective this is. What a life for the world that we can share. This is good news. It's the only good news for the world. We are given a living confidence in this world not just in the one to come. And we receive it through our union with Jesus Christ by faith in him alone, plus nothing. In other words, dears, if we can believe the written word of God, and you might say, Pastor, that's hard to do. You might say, you're saying that the kingdom has come, that Jesus rules and reigns. Doesn't look like it to me. But would you or I ever have guessed that the second person of the Holy Trinity would have to leave heaven, come to earth, die on a cruel cross, shed his precious blood for us, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, be seated at his Father's right hand? Would we ever have believed that except for the grace of God? If we can believe that gospel, we can believe all the aspects of the gospel and everything entailed in it. There is hope for you, for me, for our families, for our communities, for our nation, for our world. And it's all found in Jesus as that gospel cascades through the church to the world. It's a full orb life in Christ, and when we can grasp that, despite the fact that we're still weak, we're still sinners, we still have problems, this will do a whole lot to bolster our lives, to fill us up, to make us full, free, liberated Christians, and it will also dash all of our worthless idols to the ground. Let's look at the text together. These are amazing words. Verses 1 to 5 of Revelation chapter 22. And marvel at the glorious flow, F-L-O-W, of God's remarkable mercies to us. So maintaining the imagery of the divine watercourse will aid us in ingesting and being refreshed by this lovely food and drink of Jesus today. Our call to worship is so beautiful. When it was read in German, I didn't have a clue. But when it was read in English, I loved it, and I loved it in German too. But here's what it said in English from Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Well, that river makes glad the city of God, the church of God, every Lord's Day, and through you can make glad a lot of other people too. Let's look at the glorious flow of God's remarkable mercies to us. First, the river of God's remarkable mercies. The river of Christ's atonement is perfectly pure, P-U-R-E, and it streams to us today, verses 1 through 2b. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Now, there's, from my perspective here, I can see that river out there, and it's shining, and it's glowing, and it's reflecting the glory of God. But because it's on a fallen earth, like all natural rivers, it is subject to some degree or other, the pollution that comes into it. But this river that we're seeing here in these first two verses of Revelation 22 is devoid of any contamination whatsoever. It is, if you will, clear as crystal, as verse 1a says. After all, its source is, quote, the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's a great source for the river, verse 1b. And what is rather remarkable, though, think about this with me, from our point of view, is that as the river traverses its way down from God the Father, the throne of grace, the Son of God, and it comes through the, quote, middle of the street of the city, unquote, of the New Jerusalem, the New Covenant Church, in verse 2a, the stream does not contract any disease or contamination along the way. The river cleanses everything that it touches, and the river is never polluted by any sin on earth. And God is not averse to coming here and preaching the gospel to people through the church every Sunday, bringing that river of life down to us once again. It nourishes, if you will, the tree of life on either side of the river. And the tree bears 12 exquisite seasonal fruits. And again, what a breathtaking vision this is for us to own and believe and to share with others. That God is. He lives. He sent His Son. He's provided us everything we need in Jesus, our blessed Lord, the river of life and the tree of life. The river's water is Christ, and where we find Jesus, we find His blood, and where we find His blood, we find powerful cleansing for sin and sinners, which all of us are. We're going to look at that presently. The glorious flow of God's remarkable mercies to us, the river of Christ's atonement is perfectly pure, streams to us today. Then Jesus, God's medicine for the world, cures everyone in His path currently, verses 2c through 4. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Now, these verses, dears, constitute one of the great biblical proof texts for our doctrine that the water of life and the tree of life, Jesus, producing the healing leaves of His blood, has direct reference to the here and now, the world in which we live today. Sometimes people read those verses and they're tempted to think, oh, that's only for the future, the glory of the eternal state in heaven. But no, otherwise, if that was true, why would there be need for healing at all? In heaven, there will be no disease, no sin, no suffering, no sorrow. Who would need to be healed in heaven? These are words for earth, the earth on which we live. Yes, we live, we will in the body die, but the believer never dies, has eternal life, and the body will be raised just like Jesus' body is raised even today. Who would need healing of the nations if it wasn't for sin, where we live even today? Besides, what more profound reality could be placed upon these words than the glorious blood atonement of the Son of God at the central part of His gospel message of grace, of which He Himself is the very heart of it? And dears, who but sinners needs forgiveness and atonement? Non-sinners don't need it. But you and I, we know them because we are them. We know that they need it. We need it. We all need the remission, a right, justified, perfect, holy standing before a pure and holy God who will not judge on the curve, but demands absolute moral and spiritual perfection. And that perfection may be had only through the apprehension of Jesus Christ's justification, received by faith. It's not our own, it is an alien one, as the great Martin Luther taught us in his wonderful commentary on Galatians and elsewhere as well. But he wasn't the first, he wasn't the last. This goes all the way back into eternity past, when a gracious God elected some sinners unto life, and in time and space applies it by the power of the Holy Spirit, working on our dead, rebellious, hateful hearts, and making us new creatures in Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Verses 3 and 4, they describe the actual condition of God's church's saints' current positional standing in Christ, pure before Him. Many of you were able to rightly receive an absolution, a proclamation today, that your sins are forgiven. If you're in the church and you know Jesus Christ, you have that assurance. If you're not in the church and you know Jesus Christ, those words might apply to you too, and I hope they do. But they only apply to those who are covenanted with Jesus in the fullest sense of the assurance. So I encourage all of us to be where God is, be where Christ is, be where the action is, and be in the heart of that city where the river of life flows right through the middle of it to all the rest of the world. Originally, these words were penned to seven small Asia Minor churches, about the size of our Redeemer Church. John wrote these words, and it encouraged them because they were facing some really hard times. But you know, these words also apply to us today. Very much so. And look at some of the glory of them. We even now worship him and see his face, and his name is on our foreheads, if you will, verses 3b and 4. And though these promises were indeed made to those earlier churches in the Apocalypse, all faithful Christians everywhere in Christ Jesus and every faithful church get to enjoy them, including us, not just later, not just when we're dead, but here and now, where we need them. The glorious flow, Jesus is the river of Christ's atonement. He's perfectly pure. Christ, God's medicine for the world, cures everyone in his path. And finally, the result is a healthy and illumined messianic kingdom now and always, verse 5. When night will be no more, they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Symbolic language, apocalyptic language, figurative language, but true language that applies to us today. The kingdom, i.e. the redeemed church, and even the being renewed earth, are made well and are thoroughly lit up by the presence of God in our midst today, even right now. Now, dears, if this does not seem like the world that we know and perceive, is it possible that we are not looking for the right world? Is it possible that we're reading the wrong material? Or is it possible that we're believing the wrong information? You might say, Pastor, it's hard to believe. Yes, it's hard to believe. But would the gospel be any easier to believe? One of the reasons pie in the sky, by and by, religion is so far beneath gospel church Christianity is because any religion of the world can offer pie in the sky by and by. And most of them do. You know, most religions say, hey, if you do this, 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 you'll get this, 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 this in some paradise or someplace after you're dead. The contest between true religion and all pretenders to the throne must be had in this life, not the one to come. It's easy to make those false promises, and the devil would have people believe them. The action is here and now. The church is here and now. The gospel is here and now. Jesus is here and now. For us. Where did the psalmist in Psalm 73, verse 17, find his comfort? You know, he looked at the world like we did, and he said, it doesn't make sense. The people that hate God seem to have perfect health, everything's going well, big financial benefits, full wallets, lots of kids, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, he walked into the sanctuary of God, and there he understood the end of all things. It's when you walk into the sanctuary of God, the church, that you get perspective and order, honor and dignity, and an understanding of reality as it really is. The river flows, the trees grow, the fruit is born, and the leaf medicine is applied all in the sanctuary, the church of God. So what we like to do now, dears, is a little more application of this text to our heart. We've done some, but let's do some more. And as we do that, let's consider why these verses are so spectacularly exciting for us in the church today, and I might even say in the world today. Okay? This is good news for the world. For our communities that are needy and struggling, whether they realize it or not, that are lost and dead in sin. This is great news. Much of the reason for this has already been spoken, but we'll do our best to fill out the picture even now. With that in mind, let us better understand why these verses are so spectacularly exciting for us in the church and the world today. First, because as our faith takes hold of Jesus and all God's promises, And the key here is grasping on to the person of Christ. When we understand the gospel, we understand the heart of the gospel, which is Jesus. We must have him. Not just words about him, not just images about him, but he himself. We must have him. And this is done by grace through faith. It's a miracle of God. It's a work of God, but we're also called upon to put our faith in God through Jesus Christ. And it leads to the fullness of God in Jesus Christ, a full, rich, wonderful life in him, now and in the future. Doesn't mean we don't suffer, aren't persecuted, don't go through tribulations and hardships and sicknesses and diseases. We do. The true saints suffer more than people outside of Christ. But it's all sanctified. It all leads us even more to the Messiah, the grace of God. I want that to be clear, dears. This is not an easy life, but it's the best life. It requires us to every day take up our cross and die with Christ, be crucified with him, to walk with him and to be raised with him, day by day, Lord's Day to Lord's Day. The promises of the New Jerusalem are all ours, so long as we believe them in the person of Jesus. Is Christ the water of life? Is he the tree of life? Yes. How do we appropriate him? Well, by ingestion. We take him in through our ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And we bring him in through the refreshment of water. He's the water of life. He is the healing leaves of the tree. Jesus' blood is the perfect medicine for every disease of the soul and heart. How does Christ come to us? How does it happen? How do we get fed Jesus? Can we do it on our own? Can we sit on a mountain, read our Bible, meditate all day, do a lot of good works, be real religious, deprive ourselves, beat up our bodies, try to impress God, be as religious as possible? You can do that, but it won't get you heaven, it won't get you happiness, it won't bring you Jesus. It's as easy as hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Preaching the sacraments, especially on a typical regular basis of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Baptism, of course, which precedes that, which is that entrance rite into the covenant, into the New Jerusalem, into the city. Prayer, which we do throughout the week as we take what we hear on the Lord's Day and pray, read our Bible, and enjoy fellowship with God, with one another, and share Jesus with the world around us. Dears, let us not miss God's best for anything less. Christ alone is God's best. Why these verses are so spectacularly exciting for us in the church, and I would say the world today? Because as our faith takes hold of Jesus and all God's promises, we realize that we always possess everything of value in our blessed Redeemer. Now, the way for us to enjoy all of this positive and august doctrine, gospel doctrine, is to recognize this primary ingredient again, and that is that God has already given us his very best in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. If that's true, then what more could we ever need or want? We're tricked into thinking there's something more. But, dears, we find all our all and all our fullness in and through Christ. I hope all of you are as happy as many of us in this church are because of God's grace to us. We love Jesus. We love his day. We love church. We love the gospel. We love the people of God. We love to share it. We love to bring the gospel to the center part of our community. We like to bring it right to the heart of it. What you're doing here today is momentous, actually. Monumental. You're planting a seed in the middle of a community that will grow and spread. and bring God much glory and honor. It's all His anyway. It's all His. You know, a pastor's job, as long as he is loving Christ, is to try to convince people that they may be as blissful as they wish to be, so long as they find their felicity in Christ alone and not in something else. Now, He will have us enjoy other things. I want you to be clear about that. But we enjoy them through Jesus in a prioritized order that brings glory and honor to God. Christ is the water and tree of life, and what pleases God is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we must have faith in Jesus. If we believe that Christ died for us and that He washes away all our sins in His blood atonement, then we may also believe that He will provide for us and our world, the sovereign God, everything that we need and the world needs. How much worry do we need to put into that equation? None. How much patience? Lots. Do we not wait on the Lord? We do. But the sovereign God we wait on is a good God, who even today is cascading that glorious pure water of life through the middle of the street of the New Jerusalem. The healing leaves of the tree, medicine for all the world. Beloved, the water of life and the tree of life is Jesus. He quenches our thirst and He heals our souls as the water and tree of life. If you're able this morning, let's stand together for our song. And while you're standing, I'll pray as well. So let's do that. Okay, Father, we lift up these dear souls who've heard this sermon today. Pray that they would drink deeply of the water of life, that they would have their hearts perfectly cured by the medicine of the leaves of the tree of life. We recognize where it's to be found, Lord, on a fallen earth, in faithful but imperfect churches, where this gospel flows, it does not get contaminated, but heals all it touches. Thank You, Father, for what You've done here today. Use this for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.